let me see again. What remarkable words. We learn a lot about Bartimaeus from that. The fact that at one time he had vision, he was not born blind. We learn that he was a person of faith because he understood that Jesus could indeed heal him and that he wanted that healing. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to see things with new eyes because his old eyes had just simply given out on him for whatever reason. He wanted to see with new eyes all over again. I believe this passage is given to us for many different reasons, but perhaps one reason is simply so that we might think about seeing our faith with new eyes, seeing through the eyes of faith all over again, seeing with new eyes again this world and our relationship with God and how we walk with God and how we interact with others and how our faith becomes a part of who we are and how we live and how we interact with others and how we work to bring about change in our world. Work so that others might come to know Jesus the Christ. Others might hear the good news. That we also, like Bartimaeus, pray to Jesus and say, give me new eyes. Let me see again. Let me see again who I am and who I am with you and who I am as a disciple of Christ, who I am as a Christian, the one who bears the name of Christ into all the world. Let me see with fresh eyes of faith this day and every day. How do we go about that? How is that accomplished as we're living out our days? Well, one thing is that we have to, just like Bartimaeus, seize an opportunity to capture faith, to have faith, to express our faith, that we seize that opportunity. Jesus had come into Jericho and Jesus was leaving Jericho. He might not, by all that we have in the records, he did not return that way again. He was leaving Jericho. This was Bartimaeus' last chance. For some reason, he had not been able to speak to Jesus as Jesus entered Jericho. Now, as he was leaving, Bartimaeus realized this was his opportunity to seize the moment, to seize that opportunity to express his faith. And so he cries out to Jesus. He cries out in the midst of any opportunity to express his faith, that he believes that this one can indeed heal him, that he believes that God can accomplish that. We also, each and every day, have many opportunities, each one of us in unique ways, to seize faith that moment, to see things through the eyes of faith, and then to express that to others, to understand that Jesus Christ is with us and that we have faith in God. Indeed, in this situation and in every situation. My older brother was 48 before he got married for the first time. We all thought he was a confirmed bachelor, but he decided to get married, and they are still happily married today, and he just turned 65. So he is very happily married, even though he got married late in life. And so my twin brother and I decided, well, we need to throw him a bachelor party or something, and Jimmy, my older brother, said, you know, I don't want a bachelor party. I'm 48, you know what, but. So he said, I know what I want to do. He said, I want to go on a white water rafting trip. That's what I want to do for my bachelor party. And I wanted to say, a bachelor party is a whole lot easier than this. But anyway, so I'd been white water rafting a few times, and I'd sort of sworn off of it and said, I'm not doing that anymore. But, you know, big brother wanted to go, so then my twin brother and I got together and had this outfitting group to do a rafting trip. We had a guide with us and all this sort of stuff. We're going down the Nantahala, I don't know how to say it. But anyway, that big, fast river up there. And it was full of water that day. It had a lot of water and a lot of currents and strength and everything else. And so we were with our guide. And we were going down. And they instructed us, of course, what to do and all this stuff when you fall out of the boat and everything. And my twin brother, every time he put his paddle in the water, he fell out of the boat or the raft, you know. It was just like, don't put your paddle in the water, because every time he did, it would boosh, boosh. So, you know, we got used to getting him out of the water, but he would kill me for telling you that. But so then we were going around, and the guide was saying, okay, this place is real tricky. We've got to turn real sharp and got to do this and we got to do that. And we all like, or just hang on for dear life, you know, whatever. And so then we did it, and for some reason we didn't do it right. I don't know how, but anyway, we didn't do it right. And so then we hit this giant big boulder. It shouldn't have been there in the first place, but hit this giant big boulder. And of course, the raft went up on the boulder and everything, and everybody was trying to hang on, and the water didn't let off. Nobody turned off the water. So it was just like rushing and going crazy. And so first I saw Jimmy fall out. And then there were boulders everywhere, and he did what they instructed, keep your feet high and all this stuff. And so then he went around all these boulders and went on back through. And I was like, oh! And I was trying to hold on and everything. And then, of course, my twin brother, I'm surprised he hadn't already fallen out, but then he fell out, same thing, feet up, and went around different boulders without hitting one and went on. And then my son, who was just, you know, a kid at that point, and I was trying to hold on to him, and he was trying to hold on to me, and then at the last minute, he went as well. Well, I was starting to panic. I was going, okay, it's one thing for two grown men to go down the river, but my son going down the river, and I can't be there with him, and I was like, I'm going to jump out and try to go with him or something like that. So as I was trying to jump out with all my great coordination, I somehow ended up plastered against the boulder like this. And then the raft, which the tour guide at this point had managed to get off onto another rock. He sort of deserted the ship. But the raft came and came around me like this. And so I was not only plastered to the boulder by all the force of the water hitting me, but also the raft. It was just like a big blanket holding me in. Luckily, my head was out of it, but it was all around me, and I could not move a muscle as I watched my son going on down and hoping he wouldn't hit a boulder, and then he went out of sight. And I really started to freak out at that point. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to freak out, and I'm sure they've seen grown people freak out in this situation. But then I thought, God's with them. God will watch over them. God will be there for them. I don't need to freak out at this moment. The guide was freaking out, and he'd run across the rocks and got another guide to come over there, and they ran back to me. I think they were afraid that I would get trapped underneath this thing, and they kept saying, don't move, don't move. And I was going, yeah, you don't need to tell me that because I'm plastered here. I can't move if I wanted to. But they kept saying, it's all right, we'll get this, we'll figure it out. And they were trying to figure out how to move the raft and how to get me. But, you know, by that point, I decided God's with my brothers and my son. God's with me, and it's okay. And I didn't panic. I didn't freak out. I didn't go crazy. Now, you know, I'd started to do that, but then I thought, well, where's my faith in the midst of this situation? Where's my faith that God is with us? Everyone turned out to be fine. We continued on with the trip as if nothing had happened. I was fine. I wasn't even beat up or bruised for some reason, and no one else was. They were all laughing about it when we got to calmer waters. But God was with me. God was with us. Even if something disastrous had happened, which I thank God it didn't, I still knew God was there. I still knew my faith had been activated. My faith had been the thing that kept me from just totally freaking out. God was with me. God was saying, I've got this. When we are going through life and, you know, life can be filled with anxiety, then at that moment, perhaps we need to say, Lord, give me the fresh eyes of faith to see you here in the midst of this situation. Let me seize my faith at this moment, capture my faith and claim it for everything that you can do for me in all the ways in which you can walk with me this day and every day. Then also we can learn from Bartimaeus how he, very importantly, saw things with a new faith, a vitality, a strength in the changes that he was able to make, in the fact that he was willing to step forward in faith. Bartimaeus becomes sort of a hero at this point in this story. And it's amazing, it's beautiful, because of course, right when he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, have mercy on me," what happened? The people in the crowd began to sternly order him to be quiet. They were probably going, "You blind guy, beggar, just hush. This is important. This is an honored guest to our city. This is a great teacher. We don't want you messing things up and making it bad." And so they sternly ordered him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus said, "No, this is my opportunity. He is leaving Jericho. This is my chance." And so he cried out all the more. He decided this was the moment, this was the time, and he wasn't going to let that obstacle stand in the way of him expressing his faith, of him saying, "I have faith that you are indeed not only just Jesus, but you are the Messiah, the Son of God. I have faith that you have come to change the world. I have faith that you are a miracle worker because you are the Son of David and the Son of God, and that you are here indeed to point us to a new way." And so he did not allow that obstacle of people sternly ordering him to stand in his way. But there's another obstacle that was perhaps the strongest of the obstacles. That is, when Jesus said, "Let him come here," then the people turned to him. Instead of sternly ordering him to be quiet, they said, "Get up, get up, go to Jesus. He's calling for you." And then he had to throw off his cloak. He had to throw off his cloak, stand up, and walk to Jesus. Now you might say, "Well, that doesn't sound like much of an obstacle," but to me, I think it was. He had been wrapped in that cloak probably for a long time. You could call it his cloak of blindness, his cloak of, you know, not being able to function in the world at that time. Nowadays, we understand how blind people can continue to function and be vital members of society. Back then, they saw them just as beggars. And so he had the cloak of the beggar, the cloak of the helpless, the cloak of the blind. That was his cloak. And yet he threw off that cloak. He realized this was his opportunity. This was his time to have faith. And he wasn't going to allow the obstacle of the people sternly ordering him to be quiet or the obstacle of the status quo. "I'm blind. I'm helpless. I'm a beggar," to stand in his way. He realized Jesus is calling me, and I have an opportunity to see how my faith in Messiah, how my faith will make a difference. If we're wanting to see with fresh eyes of faith, perhaps we need to throw off some cloaks that wrap us up as well. The idea that I can't change, the idea of the status quo, the idea of I'm very comfortable with what I'm doing, the idea that I don't have to truly make a difference in the world, I'm okay in everything and I'm just going to continue on with the status quo. Perhaps that's a cloak that we need to remove if we're interested in having the fresh eyes of faith. Let me see again. Let me see again who you are and how great you are in the world and how you are even calling me, even calling each and every one of us to do great things for God, to change lives, to touch somebody with our faith, to see their situation and our situation with fresh